Today, I just want to share a few lessons, meaning three. The three lessons that have had the greatest impact on my life have to do with feelings, with failure, and with finding happiness. A year after I left college, I was given the opportunity to co-anchor the 6 o'clock news in Baltimore, because the whole goal in the media at the time I was coming up was that you try to move to larger markets, and Baltimore was a much larger market than Nashville. So getting the 6 o'clock news co-anchor job at 22 was such a big deal. It felt like the biggest deal in the world at the time. And I was so proud because I was finally going to have my chance to be like Barbara Walters, which is who I'd been trying to emulate since the start of my TV career. So I was 22 years old, making $22,000. And yet it didn't feel right. It didn't feel right. The first sign was when they tried to change my name. The news director said to me at the time, nobody's going to remember Oprah, so we want to change your name. We've come up with a name we think that people will remember and people will like. It's a friendly name, Susie. But my name wasn't Susie, and you know, I'd grown up not really loving my name, because when you're looking for your little name on the lunchboxes and the license plate tags, you're never going to find Oprah. So I grew up not loving the name, but once I was asked to change it, I thought, well, it is my name, and do I look like a Susie to you? So I thought, no, it doesn't feel right. I'm not going to change my name, and if people remember it or not, that's okay. And then they said they didn't like the way I looked. This was in 1976, where your boss could call you in and say, I don't like the way you look. So I was juggling these messages of expectation and obligation and feeling really miserable with myself. I'd go home at night and fill up my journals, because I've kept a journal since I was 15, so I now have volumes of journals. So I'd go home at night and fill up my journals about how miserable I was and frustrated, and then I'd eat my anxiety. That's where I learned that habit. And after 8 months, I lost that job. They said I was too emotional, I was too much. But since they didn't want to pay off the contract, they put me on a talk show in Baltimore. And the moment I sat down on that show, the moment I did, I felt like I'd come home. I realized that TV could be more than just a playground, but a platform for service, for helping other people lift their lives. And the moment I sat down doing that talk show, it felt like breathing. It felt right. And that's where everything that followed for me began. And I got that lesson. When you're doing the work you're meant to do, it feels right. And every day is a bonus, regardless of what you're getting paid. And how do you know when you're doing something right? How do you know that? It feels so. What I know now is that feelings are really your GPS system for life. When you're supposed to do something or not supposed to do something, your emotional guidance system lets you know. The trick is to learn to check your ego at the door and start checking your gut instead. Every right decision I've made, every right decision I've ever made has come from my gut. And every wrong decision I've ever made was a result of me not listening to the greater voice of myself. If it doesn't feel right, don't do it. That's the lesson. Even doubt means don't. This is what I've learned. There are many times when you don't know what to do. When you don't know what to do, get still. Get very still until you do know what to do. And when you do get still and let your internal motivation be the driver, not only will your personal life improve, but you will gain a competitive edge in the working world as well. Because as Daniel Pink writes in his bestseller, A Whole New Mind, he says we're entering a whole new age, and he calls it the conceptual age, where traits that set people apart today are going to come from our hearts, right brain, as well as our heads. It's no longer just the logical, linear, rules-based thinking that matters, he says. It's also empathy and joyfulness and purpose, inner traits that have transcendent worth. These qualities bloom when we're doing what we love. So when we're involving the wholeness of ourselves in our work, both our expertise and our emotion. So I say to you, forget about the fast lane. If you really want to fly, just harness your power to your passion. Honor your calling. Everybody has one. Trust your heart and success will come to you. So lesson one, follow your feelings. If it feels right, move forward. If it doesn't feel right, don't do it. Now I want to talk a little bit about failings, because nobody's journey is seamless or smooth. We all stumble. We all have setbacks. If things go wrong, you hit a dead end, as you will. It's just life's way of saying, time to change course. So ask every failure. This is what I do. Every failure, every crisis, every difficult time, I say, what is this here to teach me? And as soon as you get the lesson, you get to move on. If you really get the lesson, you pass and you don't have to repeat the class. If you don't get the lesson, it shows up wearing another pair of pants or skirt to give you some remedial work. And what I found is that difficulties come when you don't pay attention to life's whisper. Because life always whispers to you first. And if you ignore the whisper, sooner or later, you'll get a scream. Whatever you resist persists, but if you ask the right question, not why is this happening, but what is this here to teach me? What is this here to teach me? It puts you in the place and space to get the lesson you need. My friend Eckhart Tolle, who's written this wonderful book called A New Earth, it's all about letting the awareness of who you are stimulate everything that you do. He puts it like this. He says, don't react against a bad situation. Merge with that situation instead. And the solution will arise from the challenge. Because surrendering yourself doesn't mean giving up. It means acting with responsibility. Okay. Many of you know that, as President Hennessy said, I started this school in Africa. And I founded the school where I'm trying to give South African girls a shot at a future like yours. And I spent 5 years making sure that school would be as beautiful as the students. I wanted every girl to feel her worth reflected in her surroundings. So I checked every blueprint. I picked every pillow. I was looking at the grout in between the bricks. I knew every thread count of the sheets. I chose every girl from the villages, from 9 provinces, and yet last fall, I was faced with a crisis I'd never anticipated. I was told that one of the dorm matrons was suspected of sexual abuse. Well, that was, as you can imagine, devastating news. First, I cried. Actually, I sobbed for about a half an hour. And then I said, let's get to it. That's all you get is a half an hour. You need to focus on the now, what you need to do now. So I contacted a child trauma specialist. I put together a team of investigators. I made sure the girls had counseling and support. And Gail and I got on a plane and flew to South Africa. And the whole time I kept asking that question, what is this here to teach me? And as difficult as that experience has been, I got a lot of lessons. I understand now the mistakes I made because I had been paying attention to all of the wrong things. I built that school from the outside in, when what really mattered was the inside out. So it's a lesson that applies to all of our lives as a whole. What matters most is what's inside. What matters most is the sense of integrity, of quality, and beauty. I got that lesson. And what I know is that the girls came away with something too. They've emerged from this more resilient and knowing that their voices have power. And their resilience and spirit have given me more than I could ever give to them, which leads me to my final lesson, the one about finding happiness. Not a small topic, this is, finding happiness. But in some ways, I think it's the simplest of all. Gwendolyn Brooks wrote a poem for her children. It's called Speech to the Young, Speech to the Progress Toward. And she says at the end, live not for battles won. Live not for the end of the song. Live in the along. She's saying, like Eckhart Tolle, that you have to live for the present. You have to be in the moment. Whatever has happened to you in your past has no power over this present moment because life is now. But I think she's also saying, be a part of something. Don't live for yourself alone. This is what I know for sure. In order to be truly happy, you must live along with, and you have to stand for something larger than yourself, because life is a reciprocal exchange. To move forward, you have to give back. And to me, that is the greatest lesson of life. To be happy, you have to give something back. So whatever field you choose, if you operate from the paradigm of service, I know your life will have more value and you will be happy. I was always happy doing my talk show, but that happiness reached a depth of fulfillment, of joy that I really can't describe to you or measure when I stopped just being on TV and looking at TV as a job and decided to use television, to use it and not have it use me, to use it as a platform to serve my viewers. That alone changed the trajectory of my success. So I know this, that whether you're an actor, you offer your talent in the way that most inspires art. If you're an anatomist, you look at your gift as knowledge and service to healing. Whether you've been called, as so many of you here today, getting doctorates and other degrees to the profession of business, law, engineering, humanities, science, medicine. If you choose to offer your skills and talent in service, when you choose the paradigm of service, looking at your life through that paradigm, it turns everything you do from a job into a gift.